There's a code of silence, and it can't go on.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. Also, you can buy the books I have, which are different from the usual books you'll read. I don't go through just histories and dates and times and places and numbers and facts and so on. I show the techniques of basically the coding that's hidden within your language, within the system, within pictures, things which you're supposed to be able to see, but you've been taught not to see. That's the old meaning of teaching the blind to see. Things which are in front of you have been obscured by the way you've been taught to perceive things or even not to perceive them. I try to break through that. And they're written in such a way that your mind should start participating in what you're reading, as opposed to the regular method where you're taught to simply read and be downloaded with. You don't participate in thinking while you're reading. Mine is the opposite. And I show you some of the coding as well, as I say, and some of the numerology that's all around you. You'll see it in newspapers. You'll see the buzzwords, catchphrases, etc. And I explain what they mean. That's a very important start for people. And this was all done when they revived or updated the English language in the 1500s. Francis Bacon talked about it. He said, we are creating the new international language of the future. He and John Dee before him and all the rest of them, old teams of high priests working on this, an old science of creating vocabulary and language. They understood this perfectly well, and they said that they were in the process of creating the international language of the future. It would be used in all business. And these are the same characters in the 1500s who came up with the idea of a world based on free trade, which would then incorporate themselves into a global whole, because your laws must all become standardized to do so. Everything goes around economics. Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix talking about Gnosticism with Stephen from Germany. Now, it began, as I say, with various hermits and so on, and over centuries it developed into an esoteric understanding of things, but they also used numerology. They traced numerology all back to Chaldea. Chaldea used coding in the alphabet and coding and numbers and so on, and that was followed suit by other cultures that followed them down through the years. But much of the modern Kabbalah was invented around the 1500s, much of the latter parts of it. But the earlier parts were taken simply from ancient numerology, with the tricks, with the language. If you understand the numbers, you understand the letters, you put the letters together, you have the words. And of course, they also went into all the different names of God and so on, and the numbers of the names, etc., 72 names for God, and each letter was a number. So when they added up each name of God separately, you'd have a sacred number as well involved with the name of God. It's all to do with coding, and you could also pass letters on to each other in code. To the average person, it would mean nothing. To those initiated, it would mean something. Later on, eventually, when the masses got hold of it, it became distorted, perverted, because the masses love ritual and a few laws and rules. And you even had the later Gnostic groups ending up very much like the Quakers. They separated the males from the females, believing that sex itself, intercourse, was the original sin, and they were forbidden to breed, basically. And so they thought they'd bring harmony on earth by splitting the male from the female, living separate lives. Even the married ones had to separate, come together at meals only, and that way there'd be harmony. You'll find a similar thing down through the ages, where they believed that evil, or Satan, or the Lord of the world, ruled the world. That's a Greek idea as well, the Demiurgos, and it's represented to an extent with Jehovah. He's the angry type man with all his rules and laws. But in the esoteric traditions, there was a higher deity above that. That was a creator. The Gnostics themselves just simply degenerated into all kinds of sects. Right? Like all religions will go, you'll get splinter groups going off into the more and more ridiculous and absurd. And ending up always with magic and then self-worship. And that's what we have today under the guise. It's really the old paganist religion when it ends up as self-worship, where they believe that you yourself are a god. All you have to do is bring the godhood out of you, and you purr like a cat. It's a great technique, though, for the present rulers of the world to bring into play, while they want the world to be stroking itself, each person stroking themselves and purring, while they take everything and every part of your freedom away from you. It's a great delusion to bring people under at this particular time. So Gnosticism has always changed its meanings down through the ages, one for the masses, one for the higher esoteric groups. And those who really understood in the ancient times, as I say, simply became hermits and went off to live on their own, which is probably the most sensible thing to do.
And what these guys will do, the technique takes a very simple one, but always the same, whether it's a Jim Jones or anything else. You can start going into what you think is occult teachings. And it's very popular, this kind of thing, especially, as I say, when people have lost their basic religions, their guidelines, and they're desperate for meaning in life because they feel helpless and they can't fight all the problems of the world, which they're bombarded with all the time. And so they join the cults hoping to find, if I can just find the secrets of what this means and that means, then I'll be godlike. I'll be free from worry. I'll be free from threats of any kind, because I'll be super, like a Superman or a godlike, you see. And so out come the gurus. A lot must apply to you by the CIA, because you'll find the same CIA research going on within all these cults before they end up killing themselves. That's always there. And because, you see, you can use that on a bigger scale in the general population, and this is what's coming about today. That's why you've got so many talk shows out there now pretending to know secrets. Now, I enjoy deciphering old Masonic codes and things, because I never forget for a minute that whatever you can decode, whatever man can decode, was put together by man, not some supernatural being. And secret societies down through the ages have always used codes so no one would find out what they were talking about or conversing about amongst themselves. There was hand codes and everything. They could build a whole language. Even the early monks in Christianity, when they took the vows of silence, they developed a system that became worldwide for all their groups of various hand signals and gestures, because it was forbidden to speak, you see, in some of these groups. So there's always an answer for it, which a person can decipher. We know, too, that some cultures have had and do have alphabets, which where the letters are also numbers. We know the Romans, for instance, and even the Greeks used the Chaldeans, and you could actually use the Hebrew as well, because it was also a number, and if they were scrambled into numbers, they could mark it on sticks. The messenger ran with the stick to the other part of the army, and another person there could decode it, you see. Very simple cryptology. But you'll find the same thing with the terms that you say in Freemasonry, and you can spend your life reading it and having a good laugh, because when you know what things are, you often do laugh, you understand, of how they communicate to each other. From myself, Alan Watt, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.